praise the Lord for the good singing and the good preaching we've had all night. And I'm sorry you're stuck with me at the end. Amen. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis chapter number 46. Genesis chapter number 46, verse number 31 is where we're going to start our reading tonight. When you find it, if you would, please stand for the reading of God's Word, if you're able to. Genesis chapter number 46, verse 31. You might say, Brother Michael, why do you have a stand for the reading of God's Word? Well, there's a couple of schools of thought on that. Some say it's from, you know, respecting God's Word. Others say it's to help y'all stretch your legs and pay attention. And there's a third camp that says it's because all preachers are, you know, narcissistic sociopaths and they like the minute control over people. Whichever one it is right now, I'll let you decide later. Amen. Genesis chapter number 46, we'll get right into the reading. Bible says, and Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh, and say unto him, my brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto thee, and the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle. And they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come to pass when Pharaoh shall call you, and shall say, what is your occupation? That ye shall say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth even until now, both we and also our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Keep reading on to chapter number 47, verse number 1. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, my father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan. And behold, they are in the land of Goshen. And he took some of his brethren, even five men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, what is your occupation? And they said unto Pharaoh, thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers. They said moreover unto Pharaoh, for to sojourn in the land are we come. For thy servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen. We'll pray and then we'll get into the message tonight. Father, we thank you so much for what you've done for us already today. Lord, thank you for bringing us to the house of God tonight. And thank you for the challenging messages we've heard from your word tonight. And God, I pray that you would be with me as I preach this message you've given me. I pray that your Holy Spirit would move in our hearts tonight and that we would be moved to be closer to you and to worship you in a greater way. God, I pray that you would just help us all to ignore the whispers of Satan as he would try to distract us, Lord. And I pray that you would bind back the forces of Satan and have liberty. And Lord, we pray that you would just bless the rest of this evening together. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. And thank you for your respect to the Word of God. So I don't think I have to do too much background on the story of Joseph. It's very well known. You know, many books, many plays, movies, you name it. They've done media on the story of Joseph. It's very well known. But just in case either you're new to this church, you're new to the story of Joseph, a little background. Joseph, years ago when he was a teenager, was betrayed horribly by his older brothers. They were actually going to kill him. And Reuben, the oldest one, said, that's probably not the best idea. And so he said, you know what, we'll just keep him here. And he had a big plan where he was going to scheme and trick his other brothers into not killing him. And then while he was gone, Judah had the bright idea of saying, instead of killing him, let's just make some money off of him and sell him into slavery. And so that's what they did. Reuben came back a little surprised, and they ended up lying to their dad and saying, you know, your son Joseph's dead, sorry for your loss. And Joseph ended up in the land of Egypt, and after a series of events, he ended up going from being a servant to being a prisoner to now being the second highest official in the land of Egypt, based off of the fact that he interpreted a dream for the Pharaoh in which they would have 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. And so after that, he helped the Pharaoh come up with a plan for storage so that they would have plenty of food to eat during those 7 years of famine. And so at this time, we're in the second year of famine. In fact, you can, in your own reading, read back in chapter number 45, Joseph mentions that There are 5 years left of the famine, and God moved in a way to allow his family to come back, and they made up. Joseph learned what it was to forgive, and so he was able to forgive his brothers, and they had a nice family reunion. And so at this family reunion, he said, hey, look, why don't you live here in the land of Egypt? I'm going to go talk to Pharaoh. I'm going to give you a land of Goshen, which was the best land for growing crops and for feeding cattle and flocks. And he said, we're going to go there, and I'm going to talk to him. Now, Joseph, he'd been in Egypt for many years now. He showed up there as a teenager. My best estimates is that he was in his late 30s by now. And his brothers were all in their 40s and 50s at least. They had kids and grandkids. And he said, I've been in Egypt for a while, and I'm going to let you know a few rules here. All right, things are different here than they are in Canaan. And one of those things is that shepherds are not smiled upon. Shepherds are an abomination. And an abomination, if you look up that word, basically means you can't even stand the sight of it or the smell of it. So when the Bible says in Proverbs, when the Bible speaks of things being an abomination to the Lord, that means he doesn't even like the thought of it. The smell of it just makes him sick. So think of just the most disgusting thing that turns your stomach. That's an abomination. And so here we find in verse number 34, there at the latter end, Joseph said, for every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. And so we come to our first point tonight where Joseph comes up with the compromise. Look again, we'll read just in a review, verses 31 through 34. And Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh and say unto him, my brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me, and the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle. And so what he's saying is here, look, they've got sheep, all right? So don't freak out when you see them. They have sheep, and yeah, so technically they're shepherds, but their trade, their job, what they do for a living, is they feed cattle. That's, you know, ox, you know, donkeys, cows, things that are not sheep. That's their job. And so that's what they do for a living, okay? And they do have their sheep, but, you know, that's kind of their side gig, okay? That's their side thing. You know, they do that, you know, on the weekends, okay? And so he said, sure, they have that, but they got their cattle, and they're coming with all their stuff. And so I'm going to introduce you that Pharaoh that way. And so when you come in and he asks you what you do for a living, don't tell him you're shepherds. All right, whatever you do, don't tell him you're shepherds. You will end up on the blacklist immediately. All right, so don't tell him you're shepherds. And so Joseph, unfortunately, while Joseph was an outstanding character, there are many things we can learn from Joseph, especially in his loyalty to his upbringing, as far as, you know, he had been taken from his home. He could have thought, well, God never did anything good for me. I'm just going to quit, especially when he got thrown in prison for doing the right thing. And but, you know, because of his faithfulness to the Lord, God brought him out of that situation, and he realized, you know, that what others had meant for evil, you know, God meant it for good. And so he learned those lessons. But one of the things, unfortunately, is living in Egypt for, you know, 2 decades taught him some things that, you know, he decided to be more of a politician. And so in the world we live in today, it's easy to kind of take up that same idea to say, well, you know, church is just kind of the thing I do on the weekends. Sure, I might go to, and I realize the crowd I'm speaking to, you're here on a Wednesday night. But, you know, that's even to a faithful member as you work out in the world, and you're out in the world, either, like I said, working or doing your errands. You're dealing with those who are not Christians. It's easy to get tied up into thinking, well, that's, you know, that's just not how the world works. And so I'm going to do things to help me in the way the world works. And that's a compromise that if we're not careful, it's easy to be easily drawn into. And so that was the compromise that Joseph had set up. And of course, then we have the conflict, which was in verse 34. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. This ties in actually directly into Exodus chapter number 8, verse number 26. For lack of time, I'm just going to read it for you. And Moses said, this was after We had the plague of blood, we had frogs, we had lice, and we had flies. And so Pharaoh hadn't had enough, and so he said, you know what, you know, you can worship God, but you don't have to leave. You can stay here in the land of Egypt. And Moses said, quote, "It is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us?" Now, logic tells us that they weren't sacrificing shepherds. They weren't sacrificing people. Israel would get involved in that later when they turned away from God and turned to gods like Baal and Molech. But here, worshiping God, God never asked for a sacrifice of the Hebrew people other than when he asked Abraham for Isaac. And even then, he provided a ram. And so Moses is saying here, obviously, he's saying, look, what we're going to sacrifice are sheep. And if the Egyptians see us sacrificing sheep, that goes against their culture. I mean, that's everything that they're about is against it. And they're going to kill us if they see us doing this. So, no, we pass. We'll go out to the land that God gave us. And, of course, you know the rest of the story. Pharaoh said no. And, you know, six plagues later, he said yes. So we see that not only are shepherds the abomination, but sheep are an abomination to the Egyptians as well. And that reminds us, of course, of the scripture where Jesus, over in the book of John, in his last sermons to his disciples, he said, look, you know, if they've persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If they hate me, they're going to hate you. So if they hate shepherds, they're going to hate sheep. And so if the world and the world system as we know it hates the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't think it takes a genius to figure that out, this world hates Jesus Christ. They love the idea of God. They love the idea of, or gods, in plural, depending on who you're talking to. They love the idea of a lot of the things that Christians espouse and what they would call Judeo-Christian ethics. But the one thing they cannot stand above all else is the name of Jesus Christ. And so because they hate Jesus Christ, they're going to hate you. And I have a feeling these five brothers that he brought with them knew that. Now, I don't know who it was. The Bible doesn't tell us. But I like to think in my own mind, and maybe if we get to heaven and God gives us instant replay, we can see. I like to think it was Judah, because Judah was the one who liked to spout out at the mouth. If you study in the Bible, he made a lot of decisions that weren't well thought through. And so he's up here in front of the king, and he don't care. He's like, this is who I am, all right? And I guess if you're trying to figure out what the point of this message is remember who you are. Remember where you come from, and remember who got you to where you're at. Amen. And so they have the conflict, and the work of Christ, just as it's reviled by the world, so is the work of the shepherd here in Genesis with the Egyptians. But now we have the conviction. And in verses number 1 and 2, we have Joseph. He said, look, I brought in my brethren. Here they are, just like he said. And in fact, he said, I'll mention that they have shepherds. But if you notice, in verses number 1 and 2, he doesn't even mention that. He just says, they have flocks and their herds, and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan. And behold, they are in the land of Goshen. Joseph was the guy who says, hey, mom, can I have somebody over? By the way, they're sitting in the living room. So they're in the land of Goshen, by the way, Pharaoh. Can they stay there? And of course, he had his five brethren with him. And he presented them to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, of course, what's your occupation? And they said, thy servants are shepherds. And not only are we shepherds, but our father is a shepherd. And our father's fathers were shepherds because we're God's people. And we do God's work. And so they were convicted about doing so much so that they made sure to remind Joseph and Pharaoh of one other thing. If you look in verse number 4, they said, moreover unto the Pharaoh, for to sojourn in the land are we come. In other words, they don't plan on staying. They said, look, this famine's going to be out by 5 years. And so we're just going to be here for a little while. Don't worry about it. Don't get in a tizzy about what we do. We're going to do our thing. We ain't staying here alone. Now, it was a little longer than they expected. In fact, God had had prophesied even before to Abraham that they would be there for 400 years, and that's exactly what happened. They were there for 400 years, and then God brought them out using Moses and Aaron to bring them out of the land of Egypt. But just as God brought them out of the land of Egypt, God's bringing us out of this world one day. And Judah and his brethren, they didn't see it, and it might be that the Lord tarries, and I don't see it, okay? And maybe other people under the sound of my voice under this roof don't get to see that day. But the promise is, we're coming out of here, and we're sojourning. So, you know what? I don't think I'd be worrying about how ticked off the Egyptians are, because that's not my homeland. That's not the place where I'm staying. The place where I'm going to dwell is in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, Pastor.